The epistle for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the third chapter. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven. From hence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. In the Holy Gospel. Let's take from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a rout, he said, Give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that country. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The just wait for me until thou reward me. These words are taken from Psalm 141. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Francis of Rome was the religious sister who founded the monastic order of the Oblates, and she died around the year 1440. But before going to her eternal reward, God favored her with a vision of the state of souls in the next life: heaven, the interior of purgatory, and also hell. It would seem that God granted this knowledge to St. Francis of Rome so that she would make it widely known to all men. And at the request of a certain priest, she wrote down all that she saw. After having endured with unspeakable horror the vision of hell, she came out of that abyss and was conducted by a guide into the regions of purgatory. On the positive side, what is interesting is that in purgatory, even though it is a place of expiation and suffering, there reigned neither horror nor disorder. There was no despair nor eternal darkness. But in fact, there was a divine hope diffusing its light. Purgatory, the saint said, is divided into three distinct parts. They are situated one beneath the other and occupied by souls situated more deeply in proportion as they are more defiled and farther removed from the time of their deliverance to heaven. The lowest region, St. Francis tells us, is filled with a fierce fire, but which is not dark like that of hell. It is a vast burning sea of fire, she writes, throwing forth immense flames. Innumerable souls are plunged into its depths. They are those who have rendered themselves guilty of mortal sin, which they have duly confessed, but not sufficiently expiated during their life. Although the souls are enveloped in the same flames, their sufferings are not the same. So even though souls are in purgatory, different souls will have different sufferings, and they differ according to the number and the nature of their former sins. In this lower purgatory, St. Francis beheld all types of people as well. And at one moment, she saw descend the soul of a man whom she actually knew on earth, but whose name she does not record in her writings. And she remarked that he had his face covered with a veil which concealed a stain. Although he had led an edifying life on the outside and publicly, in secret, this man had not always observed strict temperance and had sought too eagerly for the comforts and the pleasures and the satisfactions of the flesh. The saint was then conducted into the middle part of purgatory, destined for souls which had deserved less rigorous chastisement. It had distinct compartments. One resembled an immense dungeon of ice, the cold of which was indescribably intense, she writes. Another, on the contrary, was like a huge cauldron of boiling oil and pitch. And another had the appearance of a pond of liquid metal resembling molten silver. These compartments trace out what theologians call the pain of sense. It is a fire that purges every remainder of sin and any temporal punishment left on the soul after death. It is an intense spiritual fire which does not consume. It purifies the soul with a pain beyond any material fire on this earth, as gold is purified in a furnace. Next, the saint was led to an upper purgatory, but she does not describe it. We know, however, that it is a temporary abode of souls who suffer most keenly from the pain of loss. The holy souls in purgatory are aware of the perfection, beauty, and goodness and love of God, but they are excluded for a time from their loving and pure God. Thus, the pain of loss is that they now know the goodness and love of God, but they also know their own unworthiness to see Him as yet. And with an intense anticipation, they yearn for His company. The Church, my dear faithful, with the support of Scripture, of course, has always taught about heaven, hell, and purgatory. But through the course of history, there have been some men who have been ignorant or having some agenda, some aim, have gone against the teaching of the Church and Scripture, and they have spread errors concerning what happens after death. Some of them pretend that there is only a heaven. They say, do whatever one pleases, and everyone goes to heaven. Others, with a little bit more justice in their heart, they concede that there is a hell, there must be a hell, but it is only for the really bad, the serial killers, the wicked politicians, and the grossly immoral. However, the truth is in between. The truth is that it is very reasonable And it is the only way to have perfect justice and the mercy of God, to have a heaven, a hell, and a purgatory. Hell is just the just punishment for those who have chosen to offend God rather than follow his laws. Heaven is the state for those who have striven to follow God's will and made themselves worthy to see and enjoy God's almighty presence. But what of those who fall somewhere in between the two, fall between heaven and hell, who perhaps die without mortal sin on their soul, but whose souls are not pure enough yet, or still imperfect enough, to obtain the beatific vision of God? These souls, as the church, scripture, and common sense tell us, go for a time to purgatory, to be purged and purified before entering paradise. What then is purgatory? Purgatory is a temporary condition where souls are purified to enter into heaven, wherein, in heaven, nothing defiled can enter. The souls there endure sufferings which purify venial sins and any temporal punishment due to sin. And this purging is the cause of the pain of sense. This is just what the holy religious sister, St. Francis of Rome, saw. There was a vast sea of fire and also a dungeon of ice. That's the pain of sense. But theologians teach that far worse than the pain of sense is that pain of loss. St. Francis saw that the holy souls in purgatory are given a true idea of how gross and defiling are the stains of sin. They want so badly to be reunited to God, but they are aware and mortified at the unworthiness of their souls. The reality that St. Francis of Rome, these souls temporarily imprisoned, makes one think of the words of King David in Psalm 141. We can hear the cry of the souls in purgatory in his words when he says, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise thy name. The just wait for me until thou reward me." This is very fitting for the description of purgatory, which is a temporary place of probation. St. John Chrysostom, commenting on this psalm, explains that this prison is like a cave in which one is stuck and trapped. And the blessed in heaven and the just members of the Holy Church on earth are all waiting and in anticipation to celebrate the eternal reward of those poor souls. Thus the suffering souls are crying out, as King David said, "The just wait for me until thou reward me." Now, of course, we want to avoid the pains of purgatory. During this life, we cannot conceive the horrible pain of loss, the sorrowful separation from the Sacred Heart. But we would merit these same sufferings if we fail to expiate forgiven mortal sins, if we neglect to pray and to do reparation for our venial sins and all the temporal punishment due to sin. It is in our best interest that we expiate for those sins and we purge these imperfections today. Today is Sunday. Tomorrow, this week, and throughout our days, rather than have to do it in purgatory. St. Catherine of Genoa points out the great disproportion between the reparation we do during this life and that we must otherwise do in purgatory. Now, in her comparison in which she wrote, St. Catherine uses the Italian currency of the 1500s, But I put the equivalent in U.S. dollars to make it more concrete. She says, "He who purifies himself of his faults in this present life, as it were, satisfies with a penny a debt of the equivalent to $300,000. And he who waits until the next life to discharge his debts consents to pay $300,000 for that which he might have been paid for one penny. It is much easier to do penance in this life, no matter how sorrowful or difficult it might seem to be right now, than to purge and painstakingly purify our souls in the next. Let us resolve then to see the little sacrifices or the big sacrifices as an opportunity to lessen our purgatory time. We can use little penances such as bearing headaches, smiling at annoyances, or speaking with someone who might get on our nerves to suffer here rather than in the next life. And let us not forget, my dear faithful, that the penances, the sacrifices, and the prayers we offer now can save us from doing them later in purgatory. With the aid of Our Lady and with our efforts now, today, we can move God to hasten our deliverance and arrive at our eternal reward. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.